Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour editorial review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Issaquah, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and editorial review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on RFID technology when we come back. You know, we Americans talk a lot about private business, and we use terms like private ownership and private property and private rights. But we also use terms like stocks, bonds, negotiable instruments, licenses, and permits in our pursuit of profit and gain in our business transactions. Well, listen to this. Did you know that stocks and negotiable instruments are the exact opposite to private ownership? Bonds are the exact opposite to private property. Public business licenses, those are the exact opposite to private rights. And permits are the exact opposite to private business. And why is it that we see small business being subjected to such a constant barrage of attacks by government at every level from Washington to your hometown? And what can you do to protect your life, your liberty, and your property from these incessant attacks by OSHA, the EPA, the State Tax Commission, zoning and planning, the IRS, and the swarms of government agents and agencies that are eating out your substance? Well, you know, there's a lot you can do. And the first step is to inform yourself as to the legal alternatives that you have between public business and private business. Now, if you'd like to learn more about this thing called private business, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first, and let me tell you more about what it is you're not supposed to know about private business. It's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order yours right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, why don't you go to the website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about RFID. RFID means radio frequency identification. It's a new technology, and it's a new technology that is going to put into play a very, very well-known Bible prophecy. I think probably all of you people have heard about Revelation 13, 16. I remember I heard about it when I was a little kid, and I've heard about it all my life, and preachers and pundits have been talking about this mark of the beast, you know, and there's all these ideas about, well, what is this mark of the beast? Is it Sunday keeping? Is it the United Nations enforcing Sunday over the Sabbath? Or is it Social Security? Is it some man? You know, is it the Pope? Is it, you know, Bill Clinton? It's just all kinds of ideas out there. And whatever it is over here deals with your ability to buy, sell, and trade. And your Social Security number is that document that you have to have in order to open a bank account or to do business, you know, in today's modern technological society, in order to get credit and things like that, file and pay your income tax. Now, this RFID is a part and parcel with a system that is coming online with computers. I mean, computers worldwide in the New World Order and this New World Government, in which they're going to use this to identify not just Coca-Cola, but every single can of Coca-Cola. You see, with a barcode, it identifies Coca-Cola, but with an RFID tag, it can identify a can of Coke in a case of Coke in a city like Toronto, Canada versus Wichita, Kansas. Not just some cans of Coke, but each and every can of Coke, each and every Snickers candy bar, each and every automobile, each and every shirt or sock that you put on. Now, that's talking about control that even Orwellian fantasy didn't cover back in the 1950s, you know, when the Orwellian story was out. You know, this is George Orwell's vision of 1984. Now, this RFID is a great idea. I don't have any qualms with it. It makes all the sense in the world. I just said that, you know, to believe that the multinational corporations or that your government is going to protect your privacy at the same time we're going to have this marvelous new technology is a pipe dream. So if you want privacy, then you're going to have to be smart enough to outsmart both the government and Walmart and the Department of Defense. An advanced automatic identification technology, such as the Auto ID system based on the radio frequency identification technology, has two values for inventory systems. First of all, the visibility provided by this technology allows an accurate knowledge on the inventory level by eliminating the discrepancy between inventory record and physical inventory. Second, the RFID technology can prevent or reduce the sources of errors. Benefits of using RFID include the reduction of labor costs, the simplification of business processes, and the reduction of inventory inaccuracies. Now, Walmart and the United States Department of Defense have published requirements that their vendors place RFID tags on all shipments to improve supply chain management. Tutorialreports.com tells us that due to the size of these two organizations, their RFID mandates impact thousands of companies worldwide. And the deadlines have been extended several times because many vendors face significant difficulties implementing these RFID systems. In practice, the successful read rates currently run about 80% due to radio wave attenuation caused by the products and packaging. But in time, it is expected that even small companies will be able to place their RFID tags on their outbound shipments. Since January of 2005, Walmart has required its top 100 suppliers to apply RFID labels to all shipments. To meet this requirement, these vendors use RFID printers and coders to label cases and pallets that require EPC tags for Walmart. These smart labels are produced by embedding RFID inlays inside the label material and then printing barcode and other visible information on the surface of the label. Okay, so I mentioned to you the other day the package of toilet paper. So what you do is you take the packaging, take the product out of the packaging, and then you take the package out and you put it in your burn barrel and burn it up. They'll solve that problem. Or put it in your garbage can, let the garbage man haul it away. But now, when you buy this stuff, I pay cash because I don't want any record of it. That's your number one problem. Say, it's having these records in computers, because not only can they identify the can of Coke in the case of Coca-Cola, they can identify the credit card that they sold it to, and the credit card belongs to you. So you want to have somebody else's credit card buying it, or you want to have cash. Now, one of these days, they're going to abolish cash. When the economies collapse, cash is out. And then we're going to have a new program. And in order to sidestep, in order to bypass this mark of the beast, you should be making preparations now. Now, for the average Joe Sixpack, the mark of the beast is made specifically for him. Avoiding the mark of the beast will be accomplished by very, very few people. It's not something that all you Christians out there are going to sidestep. You Christians are going to line up to get the mark of the beast and love it. And then you'll go into the judgment and say to God, but I had to. I didn't have any other choice. I had to. That'll be your excuse. I had to do it. Kind of like a whore saying, well, you know, times got tough and the only thing I could do was prostitute myself, and so I had to do it. Didn't have any other choice. Now, when we think about this thing of faced with the loss of your home, you know, the economy collapses and you went out and mortgaged your house in the last 5 or 10 years, didn't you? So you didn't get out there and hustle your butt and pay your house off. You went out there and you borrowed more money against it. And so you've used your house as a piggy bank, and now the thing is about maxed out. The economy goes south. You lose your job. You're about to lose your house, and your government comes up to you and says, well, now, faced with the loss of your home, or go down and get an implant. Boys and girls, you will go down and line up and plead to get an implant down at your local bank. Just like you saw the old folks here, you know, with this Medicare free drug program that came along. See, your government wants to put everybody on this drug program to make everybody drug dependent. You know, drug addicts are dependent upon their supplier. That's the objective. Has to get you dependent on these drugs. And so the old people, you know, the people 65, the old guys like me, were supposed to go down, sign up for this drug program, and most of you people did that. You wanted to get the free benefits. I didn't do that. I stayed away. I didn't go down and sign up. I don't get any free drugs. I don't use drugs anyway, so there wasn't any need for me to use free drugs. But, you know, you people who are on these drugs, and you're dependent upon these drugs, and your drug supplier says to you, you go down and get this implant in your right hand, or we're going to cut your drugs off. You will not only go down and get that chip in your right hand, you will beg and plead and jostle to get into line to get your free drugs. And then you'll go into the judgment and say, well, gee, God, I had to do it. I didn't have any other choice. And then, you know, it goes on and on and on for there. You need a job. And you can't get a job without the implant. You want to get a driver's license, a marriage license, a business license. You cannot get those licenses without the implant. You know, it's like getting on an airplane today. You know, you go down, you want to get on an airplane. Time was when you walked in, put your money on the counter, got a ticket, and you got on the airplane. Not anymore. Well, you got to have your identification. And now they're going to be watching you. You know, if you've got a twitch or something like that, there'll be some guy watching your facial expressions, and he'll be watching your activities and your actions. And then when he sees something that's out of place, you know, he'll come over and he'll start questioning you. And if you give him any back talk, he'll arrest you and take you to jail, charge you with terrorism. Yeah, I can see right now that the airport's no place for me to be, you know, with my tick and twitches. Now, to give you another little illustration here as to how this game is played and why it is that I want to maintain my privacy, and maybe you might want to also, you'll notice here that polygamy is a God-ordained social status that has been prohibited by government. So Dianne Feinstein and Hillary Clinton and the congressmen and representatives and the senators, you know, all these people, they came along and they said, God made a mistake with this polygamy crap, and we're going to fix his mistake and outlaw it. And so what if you got some people over here that want to practice polygamy? And there are, and you do. And so they have to go underground. See, they can't run around and publicly proclaim to people that they're practicing polygamy. They've got to hide it. It's not an illegal activity. God never prohibited us from having 2, 5, or 9 wives. It's the state that does that. And then back in 1933, you know, the state outlawed gold. It wasn't God that outlawed gold. God gave us gold and told us to use gold, commanded us to use just weights and balances. It was government that said, oh, no, you people, you don't want to use just weights and balances. You want to use Federal Reserve notes and commercial paper and pay interest and usury and income tax. God said, no, you don't want to pay income tax, you want to pay tithe. And government said, no, don't you listen to God. We'll throw his Bible and the Ten Commandments out of our public schools. God told you, no, don't you throw my Ten Commandments and throw me out of your public schools. So government induces us to break the laws of God. That's what they're doing. They're inducing you to become drug addicts. They're inducing you to use Ritalin, to turn your children into drug addicts. Ritalin is cocaine, boys and girls. That's what Ritalin is. And so we have the government with their licensed doctors giving our children Ritalin. Well, they're not doing that without your consent. They've got you people lined up over here. Please, give us Ritalin for our little boy. We'll have you lined up down here to get your mark. So those of us that want to avoid the mark of the beast and want to avoid drug addiction, you know, want to obey God and keep his commandments, you know, we're going to have to keep our mouths shut about some things that we want to keep personal and private. Now, God never gave us any commandments about how many rolls of toilet paper that we can have on the shelf, but government has, and they will again. It's called rationing. Now, we can't pay our bills. We import into this country about $750 billion a year, and we export about $200 billion. So that's about a $550 billion. That's about $500 billion a year deficiency there. And we're just about to take a $500 billion a year hit on our standard of living. That's about what's going to happen. And when that happens, then you got to have rationing. And everything's going to be rationed, and you won't be able to get your ration card without your Social Security number. So that's why I said, you know, you people, you Christians living in the cities, you know, you're going to get your Social Security numbers out, and you're going to run down and get your ration card, and then they're going to move that up a step, and they'll say, well, we got to have this implant in your hand to protect you, and you're going to line up to do that, and you won't have any other choice, unless you're prepared in advance. Now, you know, we have some laws in the Bible against mixed fabrics in Leviticus 19:19. It's against the law to buy mixed fabrics. The other day I was in Walmart, and I, you know, just moving around a little bit, and I saw some socks, and I whipped out the label. I'm the kind of guy that looks at the label on the socks, and I saw the socks were marked 80% cotton, 20% nylon. So I put them back, and I didn't buy them because that's mixed fabric. I'm looking for 100% nylon, 100% cotton, 100% flax, 100% wool. And, you know, when you buy your Hanes underwear, it's 100% cotton. You buy your T-shirts, 100% cotton. You buy your Levi's, 100% cotton. It's not a problem. Until you get to socks. Socks pose a little bit of a problem. So most people, they just buy the mixed fabric socks, and their argument is, well, that's what was there, so I had to buy it. You know? Well, it's inconvenient, but if people have to obey God and go out of their way to do it, they're not going to do it. Adultery. You see, adultery is against the law, but the state has legalized it. Sodomy violates the law of God, but the state has legalized it. And unjust weights and balances like checks and Federal Reserve notes and other forms of commercial paper, those are against the law of the government. It's against the law of God. Government has legalized it. So government legalizes these criminal activities that God prohibits. Now, this making contracts with the state, there's four statutes in the Bible that tell you not to make contracts with the state, not to have a Social Security number, not to get a driver's license, don't register that car, don't participate in these government grants and benefits and free drugs and all the rest of the crap that goes with it. But, you know, people want to drive. They want to register their cars. They want the free drugs. They want the old age and survivor's benefits. They want all these bennies over here, and then they don't want to pay for them. They want to pay the income tax, but they want the benefits. And then they get real mad and call it a police state when the state comes in here and enforces their laws. Now, there's the point. You volunteer for all of these events. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, God told you to make a choice. Told you to choose you now this day who you're going to follow. You see this also in Joshua. Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we'll follow God and obey his commandments. And the Bible is filled with these choices, and these are choices that you have to make. And so I just thought I'd bring that up to your attention because RFID is right at the forefront, right at the cutting edge of technology. And this RFID is going to identify that you are in violation of the laws of the state. Not the laws of God, but you're in violation of the laws of the state. Well, you don't have insurance on your car. Boys and girls, insurance is limited liability. Insurance violates the law of God. It violates strict liability. And the state says, well, we want you to violate the law of God, and we want you to practice our law. All right, so then God comes along and says, well, okay, kids, you know, make up your mind as to what you want to do, and then read them and weep, because in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, you got to write those two chapters down. God says, now, because you won't follow my instructions, here's what I'm going to do to you. It's kind of like getting a letter in the mail, you know, from Al-Qaeda that says, we want to take responsibility. We want to take credit for having blown up that building or having done that terrorist act. And so God wants to get credit for his own terrorist acts. And so he said in here, time after time, in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, you give me the finger, and here's what I'm going to do to you. And he's addressing this to the United States of America. So all you Americans over there ought to be aware of that. And all you Australians and New Zealanders, pay attention. All you Canadians, you know, all the four of us that missed out on the penal clause or the penalties of World War II, we're about to get it in World War III. By the way, World War III is just on the horizon now. Can you see that? Are you paying attention? Hell, even Bob Schieffer is telling you about the coming and the impending war, kind of between the lines. But pay attention to Iran and Syria, Iran and Syria. And then we got this new operation going. I mentioned this to you last time. The intelligence organizations here in the United States. They, you know, this new fellow, they got a fellow by the name of Negroponte. He's the new super spy master, Negroponte is. And Negroponte now is reporting directly to the president concerning Venezuela and Cuba. We're going to have regime change in Venezuela and Cuba. I don't know how much oil they got in Cuba, but I heard the other day that they evidently have some oil down there. And they're talking about drilling for it. Got oil out there in the Gulf of Mexico, and you know, we've been sucking up a lot of oil. The Mexicans are sucking up a lot of oil out of the Gulf. The Americans are. And it just so happens that the Cubans are right there on the edge of the Gulf, and the understanding I have is that there's a ton of oil right off the coast of Florida. And for Florida, of course, they don't want to drill out there. But the Cubans want to drill, and I think they're about going to do that, and I think the Americans are going to tell them, you drill those oil wells, and we'll have regime change in Havana. I think that's what's coming. Now, you know, there's some other alliances out there in the world, and we all ought to be aware of the Chinese-Iranian alliance. The Chinese are dependent upon imported oil, and they're buying a lot of it from the Iranians. And they have a defense agreement with the Chinese. Did you know that? And they've got a defense agreement with the Russians. Now, as soon as we attack Iran, the Chinese and the Russians are going to be on the Iranian side. That's the way that game is going to be played. And then when we read the book of Revelation, we find out that we've got two sides over here fighting a humongous battle in Israel. And you can rest assured that the Israelis are going to be right in the thick of this battle. Right in the thick of it. And it's probably going to come down to a U.S.-Israeli attack on Syria and Iran, which is going to invite a counterattack by China and Russia, which is going to culminate 35 miles northwest of Jerusalem, there in Israel. I think we're getting down to where the rubber meets the road here, kids. But again, when you're faced with the loss of your home, the loss of your job, and the loss of all of your benefits, you're going to go down and you're going to get your mark, and it's going to be in your right hand. Notice here in Revelation 13, he says, as he causes all small and great and rich and poor, bond and free, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. So I guess you'll have a choice, you know, be in your right hand or in your forehead. Then when you go into the supermarket and you want to buy, you know, you can walk right in there, just run your forehead over the scanner or run your hand over the scanner, and it'll debit your account. It'll make all the sense in the world. You'll love it. It's going to be a hell of a neat program. And last time I told you about all of the programs that are already using smart cards and smart start and option become available, you know, in Toyota Prius to prevent car theft, you know, to expedite going through toll booths and expedite getting on the subway systems around the world. You know, this RFID technology just makes all the sense in the world, and it's real neat and it's real good. And I'm not arguing about that. But it also has a downside as it relates to our privacy. And those of us that want to obey God and keep His commandments are going to have some real problems. And we're going to have a real problem with our God over here if we go down and we sign up. Now, that puts us between this rock and hard spot. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your job. And you're going to be in a world of hurt without the mark of the beast. And if you get it, God says, I'm going to kill you. So, you know, it's a choice you got to make. So get out there and make it. Now, there's human implants. You know, implantable RFID chips designed for animal tagging are now being used in humans. And an early experiment with RFID implants was conducted by British professor of cybernetics, Kevin Warwick, who implanted a chip in his arm in 1998. Nightclubs in Barcelona, Spain, and Rotterdam in Holland are using implantable chips to identify their VIP customers, who in turn use it to pay for drinks. So you go into the bar. You know, you go into the bar and you want to buy a drink. And just pass your hand over the scanner. Hang on a minute and see if I can get rid of the static. There. Now listen, that's coming to a store near you. You know, that's coming to a city near you, wherever you live in the world, because it's technology that's coming whether we like it or not. And I'm not here telling you to write a letter to your senator, you know, and tell him to vote against RFID. Hell, that's a done deal. That's like writing a letter to your senator and telling him to abolish nuclear weapons. Hell, that genie's out of the jar, been out of the jar for 50 years or more, and it's not going back in the jar, kids. That nuclear genie is going to come back and bite us in the butt, is what it's going to do. And the RFID genie is going to come back and bite us in the butt also. So you ought to be aware of that, and you ought to be prepared for it, and you ought to be working as hard as you can, not letting any time slip by, so that you can avoid that mark of the beast and you can prepare for about 4 years of the toughest times in the history of mankind. Well, that's what Jesus said. He said there's never been a time like it. Not even Noah's flood is going to compare with what's coming, called the Great Tribulation. Now, in 2004, the Mexican Attorney General's office implanted 18 of its staff members with a Verichip to control access to a secure data room. Now, this number has been variously misreported as 160 or 180 staff members, so keep in mind that the correct number is actually 18. All right, these are just little pilot programs that have been going on, and they've been going on around the world over the last 8 or 10 years. Verichip is a company that I remember. And we've been trying it here in the United States, and it's not popular, and most of you Christians out there, see, you already know about this Mark of the Beast thing over here, and so you're prepared for that. Boy, when they go to give us the Mark of the Beast, I'm not going to take it. I don't think most of you Christians out there even have a clue as to what the hell it is, much less how you're going to avoid it. But, you know, here's a prophecy over here, and God isn't whistling Dixie through a straw hat. He's been pretty accurate most of the time. So he says, when he, that is your government here, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. So that's going to include George Bush. He's going to go down and get it put in his hand as an example for all the rest of you people to follow. All your senators and representatives, they'll go down and get it. It's to prevent identity theft. And it'll do that. It'll prevent identity theft. It'll do all these wonderful, miraculous things. It'll give you your Medicare card. It'll give you your driver's license. It'll refinance your home. It'll give you a job. All those things that you want and need and have to have, that RFID chip is going to get you. And that's why you're going to go down and line up to get it. Now, many books have been published about RFID. They're aimed at medium to large businesses implanting RFID technology to track shipments or livestock. So right now, between now and 2009, they're after all of us cattlemen out here. They want us to put these RFID chips into our cattle. Hey, I'm going to avoid that like AIDS, herpes, and VD. And the way to do that is to stay out of commerce. And that's just make up your mind. You're not going to sell any more cows down here at the sale barn. You know, I can still sell cows at the sale barn, but that's coming to an end. And then pretty soon, there isn't going to be any more $100 bills or $20 bills. Cash is going to be a thing of the past. So you're not going to be able to buy, sell, or trade unless you've got this mark, unless you got this chip. So you better be prepared for that. Now, in our business school here, we talk about this thing of private business and privacy and how to obey God and keep His commandments and how to avoid that chip. It can be done. Oh, yeah, you can do it. But you better not wait until the very last minute, until tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. You either get the chip or you don't eat. I would suggest that you make plans and preparations. That's why I said don't let any grass grow under your feet between now and the collapse of the economy, because when the economy collapses, then they're going to have to take action. When they take action, they've got to implement these plans. And they always use a crisis to do that. Do you ever notice that? See, they don't come to you and say, well, gee, do you think it would be a good idea? Let's have a plebiscite or a vote on war with Japan. What they do is they create policies that cause the Japanese to attack us. And then when they attack us, then they come to us and say, this is a day that will live in infamy. We need to go to war against these dirty, no-good Japs. Same thing happened with the trade towers. See, after these airplanes are flying into the trade tower, oh my God, we got this war on terror we got to fight now. See, so they either manufacture, create, or generate this crisis. Now they got your mind totally off of any objective thought, and now we've got to react to this crisis. So therefore, it's imperative that those of us that want to avoid the mark of the beast, first of all, identify what it is, how it's coming, about when, and what can we do to avoid it, and then organize your life around it. Organize your life. Get this thing under control so that when it occurs, you've got a couple extra rolls of toilet paper and maybe 5 or 10 pounds of pinto beans stashed away somewhere. All right, now we got unjust weights and balances over here. The government, you know, deals in unjust weights and balances, and they encourage us. They tell us that we should have more and more unjust weights and balances. They're pushing them off on us constantly. Credit cards, Federal Reserve notes, mortgages, interest-only loans, you know, you just name it, and the government's over here promoting it. Things that are all illegal and unlawful, that God told you, don't do that. They've got us doing it. And then what God tells you to do, the government comes along and says, oh, no, don't do that, don't do that, don't you dare do that. And so they've got us violating every law of God that they possibly can and practicing every pagan ideology that they can think of. Now, the storage of data associated with tracking items will require many terabytes on all levels. You know, filtering and categorizing RFID data is needed in order to create useful information. It's likely that goods will be tracked preferably by the pallet using RFID tags and at package level with the Universal Product Code, or EAN, from unique barcodes. The unique identity, in any case, is a mandatory requirement for RFID tags. Despite special choice of the numbering scheme, RFID tag data capacity is big enough that any tag will have a unique code. While current barcodes are limited to a single type code for all instances of a particular product, the uniqueness of RFID tags means that a product may be individually tracked as it moves from location to location, finally ending up in the consumer's hands. This may help companies to combat theft and other forms of product loss. Moreover, the tracing back of products is an important feature that gets well supported with RFID tags, containing not just a unique identity of the tag, but also the serial number of the object. This may help companies to cope with quality deficiencies, recalls, and resulting recall campaigns, but also contributes to concern over post-sale tracking and profiling of consumers. You know, they're liable to profile you, you know, as a Charmin toilet paper user. Are you really sure you want the government to identify you with the products that you buy? It's also been proposed to use RFID for POS store checkout to replace the cashier with an automatic system, which needs no barcode scanning. However, this is not likely to be possible without a significant reduction in the cost of current tags and changes in the operational process around POS. There's some research taking place, however. This is some years from reaching fruition. Well, hell, you know, you go into the stores and they've got these places right now, you know, where you can automatically check out. You just run your stuff over the barcode. And then run your credit card through the machine over here, and you don't need any cashier. You can check yourself out. So they're working with us, aren't they? Hey, they're getting us set up and ready for this mark of the beast so that when it comes, you'll know how to use it, and you'll be able to use it more effectively and more efficiently. Hang on here. Let me give you a reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that number is 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Well, active RFID tags also have the potential to function as low-cost remote sensors that broadcast telemetry back to a base or a base station. Applications of tagometry data could include sensing of road conditions by implanted beacons and weather reports and noise level monitoring. GS1 and GS1 US operate the joint venture EPC Global. Now, EPC Global is working on international standards for the use of RFID and the EPC in the identification of any item in the supply chain for companies worldwide. The organization's board of governors includes representatives from GS1 and GS1 US, the Gillette Company, Procter & Gamble, Walmart, Hewlett-Packard, Johnson & Johnson, Checkpoint Systems, and Auto ID Labs, and others. The EPC Global Gen 2 standard was approved in December of 2004 and is likely to form the backbone of RFID tag standards moving forward. This was approved after a contention from Intermec that the standard may infringe a number of their RFID-related patents. It was decided that the standard itself did not infringe their patents, but it may be necessary to pay royalties to Intermec if the tag were to be read in a particular manner. EPC Gen 2 is short for EPC Global UHF Generation 2 EPC Standardization. It is headed to become adopted by ISOEG, for example, in accordance with complementary standardization based on the ISO standard. So what we're looking at here is a worldwide standard for this RFID technology. Everybody in the world is going to use it. Chinese are going to use it, and the Russians, and the Brazilians, and the Americans, and the Chinese. Everybody's going to be in on the game. The New World Order is well underway. And in fact, here in Bible prophecy, we see that very thing. This great world power, which will last for about 1 hour. A very short period of time. They're going to actually put together this one world government, a one world tyrannical government to operate for a short period of time, maybe a year or two or three or something like that. And then they're going to kill as many people as possible. 90% is what they're after, 90%. And it just so happens that that's what God tells us in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 13. He says, I'm going to save 10% of you alive for seed stock. So we're going to have an opportunity to see death and destruction on a scale unimagined by the human mind. When you talk about killing 6 billion people in the world in 3.5 years, it just boggles your mind, doesn't it? Boggles your mind. This great tribulation lasts 3.5 years. 6 billion people are going to be killed, going to save 10%. Now we're approaching about 6.5 billion people. So I'm going to put in 6.5 here times 0.90 is 5.85. So that's 5,850,000,000 people dead. Now, just mark that down, because I know that you're sitting there saying, well, that can't happen. Well, wait a minute. It's never happened before. it evidently didn't happen in Noah's flood, because Jesus said that it's going to be worse this time around. This great destruction will be worse than Noah's flood. Matthew 24. Go read it for yourself. He said it also in Mark 13, Luke 21. Now, the only thing I can figure that's worse than killing everybody in the world, except 8 people, would be killing everybody in the world, which is 2 or 3 times as many people as were killed in Noah's flood. So my guess is the population is 2 or 3 billion back in Noah's day, and it's 6.5 billion today, and we're going to kill 90% of them, or about 5.85 billion. And get this, the Club of Rome and a number of big think tanks, along with the Committee of 300, have got this plan in mind. This is what the Georgia Guidestones call for. You know, for you people down there in Georgia with the Georgia Guidestones, about 500 million people left alive. A world population, a sustainable world population of 500 million. That's what they're talking about. Okay, what happens to the other 6 billion people? They all die. All right, regulation and standardization, and then we got bird flu and so on. Well, listen to this. It's been proposed that RFID technology could be useful to conduct surveillance of poultry movements, which could enhance efforts to control a bird flu outbreak among poultry, thereby reducing human exposure to infected poultry. Due to its promising capability in livestock tracking, several Asian countries consider the adoption of RFID technology for its poultry identification program in connection with the bird flu outbreak. You see how logical this is? God, it just makes all the sense in the world. I mean, we're sitting on the edge of our seats waiting for this bird flu to go pandemic, to go pneumonic, to go pandemic around the world from person to person. And they're telling us, you know, this is what's going to happen. And the only thing I can figure out is the only way you could tell us that that's going to happen is if you've got the means to project it and to accomplish the goal. I don't doubt but what governments or the CIA or some military establishment or organization has the bird flu out there and ready to go, person to person. They've already tested it and tried it, and we're ready to unleash it, just waiting for the right moment. So if you could identify every chicken with one of these RFID tags, and then the chicken turns out to have bird flu as it comes into the slaughterhouse, you could trace that chicken right back to its source or its origin, where it was hatched, where it was raised. You could go right back to that poultry pen, right back to that nest. See how logical that is? Makes all the sense in the world. But then it also eliminates privacy, but it's the greatest thing since sliced white bread for big multinational corporations like Tyson, Archer Daniels Midland, Cargill. Makes all the sense in the world. I don't deny that. But for us little guys out here, you know, the guys that produce organic produce, you know, us little guys over here that aren't interested in bypass protein and commercial sales, and we just want to sell good organic products to this local people. See how we're going to be left out of the mix? Left out of the mix. So you got to make preparations today. How are you going to live? How are you going to pay the rent? How are you going to survive unless you've got this mark, unless your cattle have been marked and branded? Huh? How are you going to do that? Well, here at the law school, we teach a class on private business based upon the Ten Commandments, based upon Bible prophecy. Yeah, there's a program outlined in the scripture, outlined by God, told us 3,000 years ago. Here's the way I want you to do this, kids. And if you follow that line, and you follow those instructions, I think it'll come out pretty well. I remember one time I had to do the Passover lamb, first time. And you read the story of the Passover in Exodus chapter 12. And I read the story, and there's a recipe in there for preparing this lamb. The recipe is in Exodus chapter 12. And I read the recipe, and I could not believe my eyeballs. I couldn't believe it. I looked at the recipe, and it says that you're to cook this lamb on an open fire, on a spit, without eviscerating the animal. You're to leave the intestines in it. Now, you know, I'm an old-timey butcher. I've been butchering animals all my life. Well, you know, since I was 12, 14 years old. So I know how to butcher a pig. I know how to butcher goats and sheep and cows. And I never heard of such a thing. You know, and then on top of that, he says, I want you to cook this critter with the guts in it. Not only do I want you to butcher it and leave the head on, leave the legs on, cut the hide off, but I want you to leave the rest of it together. And I want you to cook it like that. I thought, you know, God lost his mind. Marbles, sir, lost his mind. And then I got to thinking about that. I said, well, when was the last time George Gordon cooked a lamb? And I thought about it, and I said, well, I never have. And so here's a guy who's been around forever. He says, I'm without beginning and I'm without end. So I figured that he probably was trying to communicate to me, I've been here forever. I'm an old, old God. I've been around forever. And I thought about George Gordon having been here just for a few years, and this guy been here forever. And then I thought about the very first Passover, which occurred about 3,100 years ago. And there's been 3,100 of these Passovers since then. And I thought, maybe this guy knows more about cooking lamb than I do. Seeing how he's got 3,100 years of experience, and I have never done a single one of these guys, maybe he does know something. So I thought, oh, shucks. I'll just go ahead and use the recipe that's in the book. You know, just kind of like you get your recipe down and you read the recipe and you say, well, I think Betty Crocker screwed up here. I don't think this can be right. Well, I don't know. Betty Crocker says that this is the way this cake goes together. So let me go ahead and dump these raw eggs in here and stir them up and see how this cake turns out. And so, you know, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. And so when we got through with this lamb, it worked like a shot. Yeah, worked like a shot. Didn't spoil the meat at all, and the lamb tasted good, and we ate it, and I've been doing it that way ever since. So I said, well, you know, that's the way to do that. Just follow instructions. So I think if you follow these instructions here in the Bible as it relates to private business, as it relates to this mark of the beast, I think if we just sit down, shut up, and do what we're told for a change. It's a wild new concept for Americans. Sit down, shut up, and do what you're told for once. Maybe it would work out pretty well. So that's what I'm doing. And I'm just sitting down, shutting up, folding my hands, and following the instructions that I get here in the Scripture. I've been doing that for about 20 years. So far, it's worked out pretty well. Pretty well. Now, of course, if you're an evolutionist, you'd call that the miracle of random selection. But those of us that believe in God and figure that maybe there's some design to this, maybe there's some engineering behind it, we think that it's intelligent design. There's no global public body that governs the frequencies used for this RFID. In principle, every country can set its own rules for this. The main bodies governing frequency allocation for RFID are, in the USA, it's called the Federal Communications Commission. In Canada, it's the Department of Communication. In Europe, it's called the ERO, the National Administration. Note that the national administrations must ratify the usage of a specific frequency before it can be used in that country. In Japan, they've got one. In China, Australia, New Zealand. Now, I would suspect that they're probably going to get together here in the United Nations one of these days and say, hey, guys, in order for us to use the same tags, you know, to identify the tag in China and in Long Beach, California, we need to use the same frequency. I imagine they'll probably iron that out. And so they've got these low frequencies here. It's low frequency 125 through 134.2 kilohertz, 140 to 148.5 kilohertz, high frequency 13.56 megahertz. RFID tags can be used globally without a license. Ultra high frequency, 868 megahertz, 928 megahertz, cannot be used globally as there is no single global standard. And then in North America, they go down here and they give you these frequencies. I won't bore you with that, but my point is this. We need to get these RFID readers. You need to have one of these RFID readers so that you can read the tag and remove it from your clothes, remove it from the items that you buy. Now today what I do is I just take the packaging off because today it's in the packaging. They're not going to put it in the Coca-Cola in the can, they're going to put it on the can. So you need to move the Coca-Cola out of the can. Or you need to store the stuff in a location where the reader can't read it. Well, that's kind of interesting. You could put it in a metal container so that you cannot get radio frequencies to go through the metal container to read what's in there. Well, that's a thought. So it takes a little education on your part, doesn't it? It takes a little education. It takes a little inertia. It takes a little energy. You've got to get off your dead butt and go out and do something if you want privacy. A primary concern surrounding RFID technology is the illicit tracking of RFID tags. Tags which are world-readable pose a risk to both personal location privacy and corporate military security. Aha! Here we're cooking. So these corporations and the military, for their security, they don't want just anybody to be able to read these. For instance, if you've got a Department of Defense tank that just came out of, say, the Dodge Works, you know, in Detroit, and you want to ship that tank, you know, over to Iraq and use it, you don't want those terrorists over there, those insurgents, to use their RFID scanner to identify where that tank is located. So already we have technology that will hide the goods. Now that's what we need. We need this hide the goods technology. And come to find out, the military already has it. Such concerns have been raised with respect to the United States Department of Defense and their recent adoption of RFID tags for supply chain management. More generally, privacy organizations have expressed concerns in the context of ongoing efforts to embed electronic product code tags in consumer products. A second class of defense uses cryptology to prevent tag cloning. Some tags are a form of rolling code scheme, wherein the tag identifier information changes after each scan, thus reducing the usefulness of observed responses. More sophisticated devices engage in challenge response protocols where the tag interacts with the reader. In these protocols, secret tag information is never sent over the insecure communication channel between tag and reader. Rather, the reader issues a challenge to the tag. The tag responds with a result computed using a cryptographic circuit keyed with some secret value. Such protocols may be based on symmetric or public key cryptology or cryptography. Cryptographically enabled tags typically have dramatically higher cost and power requirements than simple equivalents. So, you know, just pause here for a moment. They're not going to put this into a roll of toilet paper, but they might put it into a tank or an artillery piece. So, for those of us that are down here at the bottom of the line, and what we're concerned about is the black markets and government snooping on what we have or what we don't have or where our cows are or how many cows we have and what we're doing with our chickens. I mean, these guys, they want to identify every chicken. Your government wants to know every chicken in the United States of America. They want one of these RFID tags in that chicken. They want to know about every dog, every cat, every chicken, every pig, every cow, every goat, every sheep. I mean, I want to know it all. And I would imagine if you're a chinchilla raiser or a mink farmer, that you're gonna have to identify every one of your minks or chinchillas. Hey, you talk about total, you know, cradle to the grave security blanket. Your government has it for you in RFID. RFID. Here's the manifestation of Revelation 13, 16 through 18, if there ever was one. And we're just right on the cusp of it right now. Don't you just love it? Now, there's also something that we have to do to avoid it. Now, this use of RFID technology has engendered considerable controversy and even product boycotts by consumer privacy advocates such as Catherine Albright and Liz McIntyre of Caspian, who refer to RFID tags as spy chips. The four main privacy concerns regarding these RFID chips are: the purchaser of an item will not necessarily be aware of the presence of the tag or be able to remove it. The tag can be read at a distance without the knowledge of the individual. If a tagged item is paid for by credit card or in conjunction with use of a loyalty card, you got that? Then it would be possible to tie the unique ID of that item to the identity of the purchaser. And then finally, the EPC global system of tags create, or are proposed to create, globally unique serial numbers for all products, even though this creates privacy problems and is completely unnecessary for most applications. Hey, listen, somebody comes in and they steal your bicycle, and you bought this bicycle and paid for it with your credit card. And so now we know that you are the owner of this bicycle. Now you turn around and you want to sell it to Tom, who sells it to Joe, who sells it to Bill, who then later loses it or says it's stolen, and this is picked up by the cops. And boy, do you have a mess now. Who owns the bicycle? Well, we know who bought it. But now, how do we know who sold it? And who sold it to who? Hey, these guys have got a good idea here. They've got a good argument. This is a spy chip, and it's what it's designed for. But its real interest is in commerce, trade, commerce, business, and industry. But it works both ways, kids. Works as a spy chip. Hey, I'm about out of time, so I got to leave it right there and remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.